It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, happy Monday. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for tuning in to 97.1 FM Talk, St. Louis's home for conservative talk. It's a good weekend. I had a super busy weekend. This past weekend, Friday night, we did Night of Rock Stars. If you tuned in to the show on Friday in the 2 o'clock hour, put my hair up in rollers. Turned out great. Thanks for humoring me for that.
Mm-hmm.
I had every intention of doing that. And then when I was sitting here, I go, how am I going to put my headphones on if I have rollers in my hair? So I just didn't wear them. It was weird.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that. I couldn't figure out how you were doing it because, you know, if you play sound, you couldn't hear it.
I didn't play sound.
I guess that's how you did it.
I just asked you guys a lot of questions you'd argue about and let you handle it.
Great job.
She played us.
It was for St. Louis. So we did Night of Rock Stars. It was an amazing event. That place had 800 tickets sold, 800 people there, sold out crowd, filled up the Gateway Convention Center, and it was just another wonderful, amazing night. Nightofrockstars.com if you want to learn a little bit more about it, but such an honor to be a part of that. And then, so that was Friday night. Amidst torrential rain, how's your house doing with the water and stuff in the basement? You got that all taken care of?
We finally got it fixed because of your friend Tim.
Oh, yeah?
Who fixed our windows.
He took care of it?
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, did you guys have any problems with water at your house?
I don't think we had any at my house. I don't think any of our rentals did either, but it was a lot of rain.
It was a lot of rain. I loved it.
Yes. It felt like it was ushering in October. That's why I led with, it's still not October and it's warm.
He's not over that.
I love it. Saturday morning, had 3 volleyball games at a round robin tournament for my 7th grade team in Belleville. And that was a lot of fun. And then after that, my son had homecoming this weekend. And the homecoming football game got rained out on Friday night and they moved it to the, I think it was an 11 a.m. start, won in overtime.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
I think it was 34-34 at the end of the fourth quarter. The other team scored a touchdown. No. Metro East Lutheran High School scored a touchdown. They had the ball first, I guess. Scored a touchdown. They scored a 2-point conversion. I think there's a lot more of that going on in high school than
definitely
kicks.
Yeah.
And then the other team got the ball, and they scored a touchdown. And the Knights of Metro East Lutheran High School stopped him on the 2-point conversion to win the homecoming game.
Wow, that's dramatic.
Isn't that super
fun? Awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
I have to tell you this, though, because I think this might remind you of, this will take you back, because it definitely took me back. My son got in the car. We made him go all the way out to Belleville. We had to be in the gym at 8 a.m. to watch his sister play volleyball 3 matches in a row. And the football game was starting at 11 a.m., and we needed him out there. He needs to help with the 3-year-old during volleyball games as much as possible. And I thought, you know, we should probably be able to get this done in time for him to be able to go to the football game at 11. If we win the tournament, maybe we'll go out to eat, but we'll just figure it out. We'll figure it out, even if it's complicated. And another family was there who had a daughter who went to the football game, and they're like, hey, we could take Charlie. We're like, that's awesome. Fantastic. Go. So he got to go. When he got in the car, when we went to pick him up, he said, unprompted from us, like just sitting in the back of the car, we weren't even like really talking or talking to him. He was like, oh my gosh, that was so fun. You know, the homecoming game experience and being with your friends and being able to cheer on your team. And then, of course, to have a dramatic athletic victory, like an overtime win at a football game for your high school. It doesn't have to be homecoming. But when you're a freshman and you've never done anything like this before and you get that experience and you get to do it with friends and stuff from high school, there are just certain things in high school that I remember. They were just kind of euphoric in the way that you're experiencing something that you've never experienced before. And those 4 years of high school where you are you're just shedding what it is to be a kid, and you're experiencing things kind of on your own, and you get to question things, you get to decide things that maybe you've always believed, but you kind of make the decision on your own to take a specific path, and people aren't micromanaging you as much anymore. It was really kind of neat to see him be so pumped about that experience and have such a good time at that experience. I just kind of made me think back to some of those times in high school where I felt like just older, much more mature or
yeah.
something.
I have a mixed relationship with that stuff from high school because I remember it naturally. I'm so rebellious against everything that everybody says is good. Lots of people told me going into high school... They would say
sports stuff.
They would say, well, you got to go do all this stuff. It's so fun. So I naturally was like, nope, not doing that stuff. And then later in high school, I started to do it just because people were doing it. And
it's
realized
it's just a social thing.
It was fun. And not necessarily for the reasons that everybody told me it was, but it was that same feeling. Oh, I'm kind of getting older and I'm doing this stuff independently.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this sense of freedom to it.
And it's not always like the big football game or the big group of people. It could be just individual situations that you experience while you're growing up. I remember the miles per hour of the breeze the day I got in my car for the first time by myself. Like specific details of everything that day. I know where the car was parked. I remember what the key looked like that I put in the ignition. I remember all those details, but just getting one step closer to that independence that I always wanted. Now I'm like, can someone please take care of me? Not the government. Just somebody who loves me a lot. Just ship me a boatload of money. It was fun. So then we had football game in Saturday afternoon, homecoming dance Saturday night. Did you guys see pictures of Charlie?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
He looked so handsome. He's going to kill me.
As I was seeing that on my Facebook feed, I was like, I know what you're thinking, which is what? My son looks like a grown man.
Like a man. Like a young, handsome man.
And then I realized that I'm going to be going through that in a couple years.
You're going to look like a handsome man?
I'm going to look in the mirror and be like, look at this guy.
Okay, he's come a long way.
Look at this puberty guy.
Show up and sit in the middle of the student section at the homecoming football yeah. game and feel it all out.
Wear my Letterman jacket. You're like, I'm one of you now.
Man, that picture of Charlie, it was the one where he was sitting down and not looking directly at the camera.
Yeah.
I was like, that is a great picture. And then I scrolled left and I saw the picture of him looking down at Molly and her looking mm-hmm. up. Oh my gosh.
I'll put those up on the stream in the 2 o'clock hour. Yeah. Molly wanted to get in a dress. She never does this stuff. So my son wore like a light blue suit, white shirt, navy tie. Got him some new Nike Dunks, which is the shoe of choice of children. They were gray. He's like,
know this.
He goes, Mom, can I get some Nike Dunks? And I'm like, what are those? And then he's like, it's a shoe. And what I told him was he needed a new pair of tennis shoes anyway. So I was like, these are your phase in shoes, your tennis shoes that you're wearing right now. He wears a size 14 shoe. So he pretty hard on his shoes. And you can't just find them. You have to order them a lot. A lot of times there's not a lot of choice in the store for what he needs. And so I told him, I was like, if you're going to be screwing around, if you're going to be going over and playing at the farm, or if you're going to be even at school, like, we'll clean your old shoes once, wear those. And these are, because kids wear tennis shoes as their nice shoes all the time now. That's kind of the status quo. You can wear nice shoes with dresses, nice tennis shoes with dresses. You wear them with suits, whatever. So I told him, like, these are your nice play shoes. These are not your active play in the gym floor and all that stuff shoes. So he was pretty up for that. And then my husband was like, he doesn't need a suit coat. I'm like, he looks really good in the suit coat. So he can't grow, but he's probably still going to.
What would you do if you came home? Your grass was cut, but they were cut in those shoes. I mean, you're getting grass cut.
It's not. I don't care.
No?
I'll cut the grass. Nate Bargatze, I just watched this YouTube short that Nate Bargatze, you know him, the comedian. Are you familiar with him? Do you like him?
I don't know him well enough.
Oh my gosh, he's so funny. He is so funny. He has this clip about how his wife cuts the grass. She wants to cut the grass.
Okay.
And he's like, you can cut the grass, but you need to go to every single one of our neighbors and face-to-face tell them that you want to be cutting the grass. And that I am not making you cut the grass. And then he goes on about saying, he's like, someone comes over, you're like, oh, you got your wife cutting the grass. And he's like, yeah, mom's fixing the roof right now, too. I grew up on a farm on a tractor cutting acres of grass. I like to do that. My husband, it's funny, because he does not like people to see me cutting our grass. Do you relate to that?
Yes.
Do you cut your grass?
Yeah. Heck yes, I do.
Would you care if Katie cut your grass?
She's asked me a couple times.
Is it the same?
Oh, she's like, would you care if I cut it once in a while? And I was like, yeah, I kind of care.
Only if you do it at night.
I don't care as much about other people seeing her as much as I feel like I need to do it. And I enjoy doing it.
Do you feel like you need to do it because she's not going to do a good job?
No, she'd probably do an okay job, but
what if she did a better job?
Then we got problems. But you know what she can do? I'll concede this. I'll cut the grass if she can just do all the trimming. If she could go around with the weed whacker, that'd be great.
Why? Well,
because I hate doing it's that mundane. Part. I like doing the grass cutting part.
So you want to cut the grass because you enjoy cutting the grass?
Yeah, it's
therapeutic.
Yeah, that's the word I'm
peaceful.
Looking for. Yes.
Yes, I feel the same. Mm-hmm.
Therapeutic.
But if she were to cut the grass, do you feel like she'd be taking away from your therapy time?
A little bit, and the manhood a little bit, I think.
Okay. I just want to drill down on that part.
Yeah. That's definitely there.
I think it's a very common thing.
But I mean, if I'm out of town and she wants to cut the grass, no big deal. But if it became a regular thing, I'd be like, no, that's my job. I need to do that.
Do you cut your grass or does Terry cut?
I cut our grass.
Okay.
Yeah, and I agree with Ryan. It's the therapeutic, like, cathartic thing. I love doing it, especially if, like, the bigger the yard, the better. Because you just go out there and you're in your own world and you're doing it, making sure you're doing this mundane task and you can...
Yeah, you're getting something done.
Yeah, you can make something look good, get something done, but it's also kind of mindless. But man, your wife out front while everybody can see you while you're not cutting the
grass?
Well,
it's not like you're drinking Arnold Palmer's on the porch making sure she doesn't miss a spot.
Well, that is what I would do, though.
But you could see how if it's therapeutic and peaceful for you that it would be the same for her. But there is a manliness to wanting to take pride in your grass, which brings me to Kamala Harris. Why was she talking about her lawn when she was saying, I'm a middle class, I was raised in a middle class, we were proud of our lawns? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
why,
it was a line like over and over.
Why are the people who can't afford to maintain their lawns right now not up in arms about such an segregated type of statement? She's saying that you have to be of a certain class to care about your lawn. How many people can't afford the gas to power the lawnmower needed and the time to maintain their lawn in a place that, you know, I would think that the more poverty stricken places, they care less about their lawn, but they may not care. They just may not have the means to do it.
I thought
it was a very like kind of elitist thing to say. From a middle class standpoint.
It is elitist a little bit. I mean, she's kind of playing into the stereotype of suburbia, I think, is what she's doing.
It's what she's trying.
It's exactly what she's trying to do. She's trying to do the Midwest thing. She's trying to beat Tim Walz for a second. I'm just normal. I'm a normal person.
We cared about our lawns.
Yeah.
Not like those other people.
If Trump said that.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be raked over the coals for talking down to the sloppy lawn people.
Yeah. There'd be a whole contingency of people out there being like, sloppy lawn people for Harris.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to play a clip from Saturday Night Live this weekend. Plus, we're going to talk about the YouTube live chat poll. Who's the weirdest candidate running right now? When J.D. Vance got picked as the VP for Donald Trump, that was right out the gate. J.D. Vance is weird. And do you remember who called him weird first? It was Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, not VP candidate Tim Walz. Nobody even knew nationally who Tim Walz was, but he came out and he's like, I think he's weird. Everything I'm learning about J.D. Vance is he's the most relatable person in this race right now, the one who I could relate to the most. And Tim Walz? Well, go vote. We'll be right back.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
All right, Ryan, did you watch Saturday Night Live this weekend?
Just enough to know what mattered.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you watch it live?
No, just all the afterward stuff.
Isn't it amazing how much media and television and film that you can consume without ever seeing the body of work?
Yeah, and it's so weird because with this kind of stuff especially, you'll see it come up in your news feed. Like, it's,
yeah,
like this is supposed to be just entertainment on a Saturday night. It's not supposed to be news.
The debate tomorrow and all the debates before, all that matters is what creeps and seeps into social media.
Mm-hmm.
As I said last week, we had a volleyball practice where the seventh graders, while they were supposed to be practicing serve receiver, going, they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
The middle school is saying
the
that.
Yes. And I mean, I've had conversations with multiple people who are connected to the youth of America in a professional way, and they said that Donald Trump is cool.
Okay. Well, if they said it, I trust the poll.
Well, I think that matters.
I do
and
too.
And it doesn't happen. Donald Trump isn't cool because of his debate performance. Donald Trump is cool because of what the internet elects to do with the debate performance, which means what J.D. Vance does tomorrow or what Tim Walz does tomorrow, whatever is memeable, that'll be the result of the debate. It's a very weird thing that, like, comedy and entertainment and the virology of what the internet can do to any particular moment in time or facial expression. I mean, it could be a still photo. It could be a fly on somebody's head.
Yep.
That all of a sudden, the entire future of the United States of America can be boiled down to what can be memed. It's exciting in a weird way because it takes the power out of the media. It takes away from the mainstream media, and I'm not talking about what Mark Cuban says, because Mark Cuban says that the mainstream media is right-leaning. I'll have what he's having. But if you realize how much this diminishes those people who have had 10-2 firm grips on the narrative that is accepted by the American public, how frustrated do you think the people at MSNBC are that they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs, turned into a positive for Donald Trump? That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, this stuff, it's nice to see that their grip on things is being taken away. They've lost. I mean, they could have maintained the power that they've had indefinitely.
All they had to do was remain professional and somewhat, you know, not biased. And they have just absolutely fumbled the football on it because they felt like they needed to shape the narrative. It's like, our job isn't just to tell the news. Our job is to shape what you think about the news. It's like, well, that's why you lost, because people can see through that.
Well, it's always been the case that the entertainment industry was able to influence. And Saturday Night Live had to have been one of the top main drivers for influencing political elections. I mean, I can in my head, I bet you can in your head, go back and think of all of the people who have played presidents or super high profile people in our American government over the course of years. So much so that strategery is something that is applied to George W. Bush, and Will Ferrell is the one who said it on a SNL skit. Lockbox. Do you remember Lockbox?
Yep.
Al Gore. Who played Al Gore?
I was just going to ask that. I don't remember.
I don't remember his name, but I know who played. I can see his face.
Daryl Hammond?
Yes.
No. Are you sure? It's the other guy. The one who... It was Daryl Hammond.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah, Will Ferrell was playing. I was thinking it was the other guy who's in all of the Adam Sandler movies. So Daryl Hammond playing SNL. Dana Carvey. Dana Carvey was playing
H.W.
George H.W. Bush, and they had a debate where George H.W. Bush was supposed to be debating Ross Perot, and in practice, he kept saying, no, you got to do Ross Perot like this, and then he ended up playing both of them, which is wild. But, I mean, you can go through and think about Bill Clinton and how Bill Clinton has been portrayed with the lip bite. And everything.
Yeah, it was Phil Hartman for a long time.
Yeah.
And I just recently
Daryl
went
Hammond
back.
Also.
And maybe after, yeah, after Phil Hartman. Because yeah, for a while there, I remember there was a sketch where they just had open auditions of their own cast to play Bill Clinton. And the last one was Chris Farley. And he's like, I can do it. And he comes out just in a gray wig, nothing else. Like, they're like, Chris, I just don't know if you're going to be right for Bill Clinton. But Bill Clinton, the one I watched recently, it was super funny. It was during his presidency. He walks into a McDonald's and he's like, hey, I'm just here to identify with the common man, you know, and he just walks around eating people's food. That's all he does. And they keep telling him, you know, you should be on a jog. He's like, I'm trying to identify with the common man.
Do you remember Kate McKinnon coming and did she sit at the piano and play, like, after Hillary lost? It's the saddest, most pathetic thing,
yes,
I've ever seen.
It wasn't,
was like,
a sketch.
No, it was just like, our hearts pour out to you. We're like, this is Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, what is this?
I don't know, but it was funny to me.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. It was very funny.
So Maya Rudolph is playing Kamala Harris, and I've seen some people talk about her impression and saying it's kind of trash. She looks like her enough that, yeah, that it works. Like, if you don't, it's always great if you can really deliver the mannerisms and the tone. But Dana Carvey is back on SNL as Joe Biden, and I've heard Dana Carvey in his podcast with David Spade do the impressions. He does ever. He's a great, one of the greatest impressionists ever, and This is what happened this weekend on Saturday Night Live. We'll react to it after.
Listen up, everyone. We couldn't have gotten here without one man, and his name is Joe Biden. Get on out here, Joe Biden.
That's right. A lot of people will forget I'm president, including me. But guess what? And by the way, I think I did a pretty good job. I passed more bills than any president in history. But folks, we still got work to do, no joke. I'm being serious right now. Come on. And guess what? And by the way, the fact of the matter is, the rich don't pay their fair share. They gotta pay a fair share. We gotta build back better. The build back the better, the better the bar, the better. Build back the better. Can't believe it's not butter.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I just wanna say, thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you for putting country first and for handing over the reins.
I didn't want to.
Thank you.
They made me. And guess what? And by the way, the fact of the matter is, no joke, this is serious right now. This is serious. Anyway, in conclusion, me and Vice President Harris are the same.
Oh, okay. Great stuff. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Goodbye, Joe. Goodbye.
So that's the little skit they did. I think they hit it out of the park on that. I feel like you got to pick up some of the things that they're willing to put out there. Comedy is a very open and honest acknowledgement of what is true that oftentimes most people aren't willing to just abruptly address in front of people. That's why it becomes relatable. There's a little bit of uncomfortability to it, but being able to talk about it with people and laugh, that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it healthy. But they do kind of poke it at Kamala Harris's Jabida thing that she talks weird. They bring Joe Biden out. Why haven't they been doing this with Joe Biden the whole time? Why are they doing this to Joe Biden now?
It's depressing, isn't it? It's because he doesn't matter anymore.
Well, I mean, when Saturday Night Live chose to do it this way, a couple of things. They acknowledge that Joe Biden is not with it. They acknowledge that Joe Biden was pushed out. And they also acknowledge that there is a question as to whether or not Kamala Harris is just a wash, rinse, repeat of Joe Biden, and that Kamala Harris doesn't want people to know that. And, I mean, it's the studio audience, so you're encouraged to laugh. Of course, you are going to laugh in that audience, in that setting, but they laughed.
Her impersonation was a little better than I remember seeing. Listening to it, I the first time I was like, eh, listening to it again, I'm like, eh, she's not actually that bad. And then what you can't see because it's radio is Dana Carvey's mannerisms.
Yes.
Spot on.
The way, and I'll say this, and if you, again, if you haven't seen it and you're just listening, you'll know exactly what mm-hmm. I'm saying. He'll be talking, and then his eyes will suddenly get real wild. And then he'll go back to being normal, and then he does the whisper, and he's the shuffle. He's got it. I mean, it is perfect.
The single finger alongside his nose, mm-hmm. where he just kind of softly wipes it down his nose.
A lot of people think that's a signal.
Yeah. He walked up. Dana Carvey did it. He just walked up to the mic like that right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a signal?
That, like, he doesn't know what he's doing or he needs to, like, that he's...
He's like a
Joe Biden,
third base coach.
Next? Joe Biden does that when he needs help or if he's lost his place or something like that or whatever. People have said that before. I will tell you this, that if I were in a position like a president of the United States, I would have things that I had in place that would communicate to other people around me. I need a reset or I need something. I would absolutely do. I don't think that that's because I think that's what you would do if you're the president of the United States and you're going to be in front of people and you can't afford to make mistakes. So I don't think that that's a Joe Biden thing.
The sad commentary that's happening here is that we finally get a sketch that's basically acknowledging what we've seen in the last couple months. Joe Biden gets pushed out. He doesn't know what he's doing. Everybody could see it. Kamala Harris is there going, no, we're not really that. I mean, we are associated. I'm glad you're here, but no, we're not. You know, she can't figure it out. They finally chose Dana Carvey, who's fantastic at this.
He could do Kamala Harris.
He could have been doing this for 4 years.
Yeah.
And they just now decided.
And, I mean, didn't Shane Gillis have an opportunity to be on? Didn't he say something? Didn't he get bounced from SNL because he was canceled?
Yeah, he was hired, and then they found some old jokes that he made, and they canceled him off of it. And then everything that we know about him has been, like, really post-cancellation.
I believe people can grow. I don't know what he said that was cancelable, and I don't trust culture to cancel people for things that are necessary to cancel, but that doesn't also mean that if whatever he said, I'm in no way, shape, or form endorsing it. But is there no redemption? Times change. We can go back in anybody. I mean, we could go back with anybody who's been on Saturday Night Live and show things that are, air quotes, problematic, that if you really wanted to get all the energy to work up to cancel them, you could probably do it. But who wants to do that? Like, are these people crap people? Are they bad people? Did they make an off-color joke? Should they apologize for the joke if they're sorry for it? And if they're sorry for it and they apologize for it, are we a country and a culture that can forgive people? I think we are. So, like I said, I don't remember specifically. I remember the story that he got bounced from a Saturday Night Live because they invited him back and he's hosted since
then. Yeah, right.
But imagine a 2020 where Shane Gillis and Dana Carvey are parodying the election.
Oh, man.
That'd have been great.
And it's what America wants. America A wants to laugh. America B doesn't want to be lied to anymore. In 2024, I think it's one of the most interesting things about what I am just observing. It's kind of a feeling I'm getting about it. It's an observation that maybe I could be completely wrong about, but it seems pretty consistent. Americans are not all of a sudden in love with Donald Trump, but they realize that they've been blatantly lied to about Donald Trump for so long that the things that have frustrated people about Donald Trump anymore do not outweigh their anger for the lying that has taken place about who he is, because now they have something to compare it to. You lied to us about Donald Trump so that we would put ourselves in the hands of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and this is what we got for it? Show me again what's so bad about Donald Trump. Oh, you can't. He isn't this person who you've made him out to be, and what you really hate are his policies and the fact that you won't have power should he win the presidency. That's where you get mean tweets and cheap gas. People are willing to consume the mean tweets and the cheap gas as opposed to the alternative, which is some sort of like righteous 15 pieces of flair from Office Space way to like walk around and show that you're better than people. People don't care about that anymore.
Yeah, it's almost as if they've done this to themselves by treating Trump so differently. If they had treated Trump pretty much just like a candidate and made fun of him when he needed to, made fun of their own side when they needed to, they may have stopped Trump. You know, Trump is so the anti all of that he keeps rising because people go, well, nobody's giving him a fair shake, but so we got to keep going with the guy.
But they couldn't do it because the same people that wanted Shane Gillis canceled would be out there marching, raving, driving up, you know, calling their sponsors and all this other stuff saying, hey, you can't have them on there because you're humanizing Donald Trump. They don't want you to see Donald Trump as a human. And that's kind of why you haven't seen him in Saturday Night Live as anything more than what they've shown him is just, was it Alec Baldwin? That's the worst impression I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, remember that room that you went to on vacation where you got to smash things?
Mm-hmm.
That was what Alec Baldwin did with the Trump thing. It was just like, what did they call it? A rage room or something?
Yeah, it's a smash room.
Smash room.
Uh-huh.
It's like, just come out here and take all your feelings on the American public on Saturday Night Live. And Alec Baldwin was like, okay, good. Is there a copay for this therapy session?
Right.
And I mean, the really crazy part about it is that a campaign that was supposed to be run on joy from the Kamala Harris stuff, like nobody buys that. Nobody buys that except for the people who are so just dripping. And it's like a slime drip. This just ooze that drips over them. That is their orange man bad hate. That the only antidote is Kamala Harris?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like you went to get a Krispy Kreme donut and they forgot to give you the donut.
Yeah.
Like it's a donut-shaped gloss.
Yeah.
I see that's there. Yeah,
there's a veneer here, but it's actually lacking substance. I mean, the only way that the Harris Walls campaign would bring you joy is if you were at such a deficit in your life for anything that resembled happiness. You are here. And Kamala Harris brings you just right up here. Also, in conclusion, there is no way, and I'm watching Maya Rudolph with this big Harris Walls sign behind her. There is no freaking way that if the Harris Walls ticket was Republican, that wouldn't say Harry Balls. There's no way that Saturday Night Live would not have a skit somewhere where the sign, they keep getting the sign wrong. No, you get the campaign manager who comes in, how many times do I have to tell you? Harris Walls! And that's the only time I'm going to say that other phrase. And I try to glaze over it as fast as I can. But there's no way that if these were Republicans, that there wouldn't be skit after skit after skit about getting the Harris walls sign wrong. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to try to connect with Stephen Moore here on the Annie Fry Show. So don't go away.
This.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for sticking around with us this afternoon. I want to get straight to our next guest as Steve Moore joins us once again, a distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, also a Trump economic advisor. Steve, welcome back to the show. It's always good to have you here.
Hey, Annie, great to be with you.
I want to ask you real quick what you know about this port workers strike that is pending today. This could have a huge impact on our economy.
Yeah, well, it could be... For sure. You know, if these are about one third of the ports on our eastern seaboard. So that would disrupt a lot of commerce, a lot of the goods coming in and going out. And so this is the very definition of remember the term supply chain problem? This could create quite a supply chain problem, Manny. And then if it happens, then what do you think is going to happen to the price of things? They're going to come up because, you know, if you have a reduced supply, that means the price goes up. So this is this is not a great time for a strike. I think these unions, the dock worker unions, realize that they've got, you know, their hands, so they can ask for, you know, huge, huge increases. And by the way, I don't know the real facts about how much these people are being paid and so on. So I don't have an opinion about that. But yeah, the answer to your question is yes, this could be really disruptive to the economy because we're so dependent on these ports.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I wanted to ask you, I don't know if we've spoken since the Fed cut rates before the election. I don't know if it's possible that they would potentially do it again before the election, but what does it signal to you when we get the kind of cut that we got a few weeks ago?
Well, the answer to your second question is no, they don't meet again. And you know, yes, Manny?
Say that again. Your signal broke up a little bit.
I'm sorry. Do you know when the next Fed meeting is?
No, I don't.
It's the day after the election. So no, okay. Your answer is could they do it before the election? The answer is no. And by the way, that's one of the reasons. Like I forget whether you and I discussed this last week or not, but I do feel strongly that when they did what the Wall Street Journal called a jumbo rate cut of 50 basis points, that was jumping the gun a little bit. I thought it was overtly political move to press their thumb on the scale in favor of Kamala to provide some juice for the economy in the last month. But that's going to, you know, that could lead to higher prices in the long term.
Let me put Steve on hold here for just a second, and Kyle out there can check and see if we can get his connection because it's really cutting out hard. Or Brad, you can go talk to him. But I mean, have you been paying attention, Ryan, to this port strike stuff?
Yeah, well, just enough. I mean, it's become news this weekend that it's something that could kind of impact everything that you buy in a way. So you're kind of going, what am I supposed to think here? I don't want this to happen. But at the same time, you're going, well. Yeah, I mean, there's nobody out there going, yes, we want this to happen, but it's just there's so much to it that it's hard to dissect quickly.
Fox News, Fox Business says 36 ports along the East and Gulf Coast are facing a potential work stoppage as the deadline for a new contract between port employers and dock workers edges closer. Tens of thousands of dock workers represented by the International Longshoremen's Association could walk off the job. All right. I think we got him back there. Steve, I'm so sorry about that. We couldn't hear what you were saying, and I wanted to make sure
you hear me better now.
Yes, sir. We certainly can.
So what I was saying before we broke up was that I thought it was an overtly political decision by the Fed to lower rates by 50 basis points. I thought, you know, maybe 25 basis points, but why put your thumb on the scale right before an election? I think, and you were, by the way, the Fed, Jerome Powell's not saying, oh, we're not political. Well, that looked like a political decision to me. Why couldn't they wait it 4 weeks after waiting 2 years until the election is over?
And when you say it's political, you know, I think that a lot of people who are not obviously economists like you are wonder what is the political maneuver there? What is the immediate reaction that people are going to experience that makes it political?
So this, when the Fed lowers rates, it pours money into the economy, cheap money. Now, in the short term, that's great, right? Oh, look, everybody's got this extra money. But, of course, what does that lead to? As you know, we saw at the beginning of the Biden presidency more and more inflation. So I think that, you know, the inflation fight is not over. And I think the Fed, look, it's no secret that Jerome Powell and Donald Trump don't like each other too much. And so I thought this was an inappropriate move by the Fed, given that, look, I think inflation is still out there, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, I've gone to the, my husband and I, we've got a family of six. We have four kids, and we it is jarring to see
it's
what we're paying in groceries.
To feed a family of six kids. I mean, with six of you. So I know exactly what you mean. I've got, you know, two teenagers at home, and they eat like horses.
That's like having four kids.
grocery bill. No, it's unbelievable. And my wife, Ann, gets so mad at me. She goes, "You have no idea what these things cost." And I'll say, $300 for groceries? How could you do it? And then she goes down that. I mean, you know, come on. A box of cereal is $10 now?
That's an expensive box of cereal. I wanted to give you, I got like a minute or so, about a minute left here. I wanted to ask you about Donald Trump. You know, we've heard him saying no tax on tips. He's now said no tax on overtime. What do you think of the direction he's taking a lot of these messages to American voters right now?
I like that one. I think, you know, people work overtime and put in the extra time, and you know, they're working hard. I think that's a nice tax cut for working class people. I like the idea of not taxing tips. I was a tip worker at one point. My first job was a tip worker working as a car parker. You know, sometimes I'd walk away, you know, at the end of a long night with $50 cash in my pocket.
Yeah,
I didn't want to pay cash. By the way, that was when $50 was a lot of money.
Yeah,
well, so I like it, and I think. You know, I think most working class people see the benefit of that. And by the way, the better job you do, the bigger tip you get.
Exactly. Right? That's an incentive. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate you. We always love talking to you. And Lord knows there'll be more to talk about. Yep, you as well. Bye-bye. Steve Moore is the distinguished fellow in economics at Heritage Foundation. Ryan, you could be a distinguished fellow of the Annie Fry Show. We could create a program.
Well, as long as I get something free out of it. I think I'd be okay with
what
that.
What if like we just continued to give you your job?
I guess I could just be a distinguished fellow at this job.
Yeah, on your business cards?
Okay.
So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.